I've said before, the days of doing old church are gone. The coming by and getting what we need and then going out living just like you lived before you got in that Sunday, they're going bye-bye. Because Jesus is looking for followers and people are going to say yes and to go the distance. And there's a great divide happening right now in the body. Sometimes we forget that when Jesus actually talks in Scripture that what he said 2,000 years ago, it holds true today. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're gathering or you're scattering. There's no in between. So if we're perched on something that's in between, then we have to assess where we are in our faith walk as far as our relationship with God. It's okay to be saved, but it's not okay to stay the way you are. So if you are moving in your relationship with God and God is doing something in your life and you are being perfected, you are in process, God is okay with that. But if you stay stuck in a cycle of rehashing old regrets and cycling back into sin, he did not die so that you could do that. Grace is empowering grace. It's to help you move and also to overcome so that you can become more like Jesus. And if we're not becoming more like Jesus, what are we doing? What are we doing? You might as well just find something else to do. Because this is about Jesus and it's about his plan and his purpose. And I recognize that that is not popular to say all the time because we like to spin it so that it's comfortable. But the reality of the fact is that following Jesus is not comfortable. It is uncomfortable. If you're really following, it's uncomfortable. And I would even go a little bit further to say this. Even if you're half following, it's still uncomfortable. Because he still wants all of you. And you know what it looks like when you're half in and when you're half out. Because there is a discontent with your surrender. Because you know there are things that you're still holding back on that he wants. And until you give him what he wants, there's a tension and a wrestling match that takes place between you and God as far as who's going to win. And ask any believer who's lost that match, who wins it every time. Because God knows what you often don't know. He is perfecting something in your life that is not just about here, it is about eternity. If God saved you, not only does he have something for you here, but he saved you because he has something for you in eternity. He's also placed you there. It's a reason why the Bible says you are seated in heavenly places with him. He has already placed you with him positionally, and one day you're going to be with him where you're going to rule and reign. And so there are things that God is doing in your life so that one day you could actually rule and reign. You are in practice mode right now. So you're learning to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. And as you do that, he's building in you the necessary things that you're going to need eternally, not just temporarily. Temporarily. So as Christians, when we see with eyes of faith, we see differently than the way the world does, or we should. We should. And I'm going to say this now because I'm already out in front of it. We are already going into an election cycle. Already. And I already felt it this week. Keep your eyes on Jesus and what he is doing and get your news from him and have a perspective that whoever God brings in and whoever he brings out, it's good. Thank you. Okay. It's good. I know we have preferences and secretly you're saying, oh, but I am voting for so-and-so. But have an understanding. Don't get baited into things that you don't need to get baited into because the enemy would like nothing more for than you to play that game and pick party over purpose. And then what you do is you miss out on the purpose of God because you're so upset that your guy didn't get in. And what you realize is that the Lord says, I pull up and I put in. I'm the one who does the work. And if I want to put in a Nebuchadnezzar, I'll put in a Nebuchadnezzar. Because there are certain things that God wants to accomplish in the earth that's only going to be accomplished when he allows certain people to do it because it draws people to him. So if you're talking about the purpose of God, you have to understand the purpose of God doesn't align with your purpose. So when you see something that doesn't make sense, it's okay. Because God does things that don't always check your boxes. You try to box God. Well, if it's in the box, it's God. I had a list before I got married of what I wanted to see in a woman. To be honest with you. She checked the boxes. She's exceeded the boxes. I can't take that same list and say, okay, now God, this is how I want you to work in my life. Because God will take the box, turn it upside down, rip it in half, and say, let's work with this circle. Because I'll move anywhere I want inside the circle. And guess what? I'll even go outside the circle. And God forbid God goes outside the circle. Because, and God forbid God does something that doesn't align with the OCD part of you. You know, the OCD, well, he didn't do it this way. He did it last time. All of a sudden, we had everything in a row. We had it all calculated out. And God says, well, I guess I can't rely on that anymore. Because God takes all the boxes, he destroys them. But we want a relationship with God based upon convenience and based upon things that we can see and we can understand. And so when you're praying about things, a lot of times you forget that you're not just praying about things here. Prayer is a specific, it's a supernatural gift that God gives you. So when you pray, you are entering into warfare, especially when you pray according to the will of God, that what's happening in heaven comes down here. That's why he talks about the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes through the process of the prayer and he says, talking about your will as it is in heaven, not here. So there are things happening that you cannot see that God says, I want you to pull from that and I want to see it manifested here. Here. So that's why oftentimes when you pray about things, there's warfare against it because you're coming against things that are stopped up. You're coming against things in spirits that are holding certain things back that you have to break through in order to see breakthrough. So we can stand and we can pray and declare, but you have to understand that it might be something that you have to do repetitiously. I was reminded this week in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul was speaking about the armor of God and having a stance in God and having done all you know how to do, stand with the full armor on. Full. And we forget, Sharon, the last part of that scripture when he talks about praying in the Spirit. Always. I got the armor on, but I'm not really engaging. You know, you could be dressed up but not fighting. All dressed up. You had a kid on the bench. All dressed up. Came to the game. But you're twirling your gum in your mouth. On the bench, drinking a juice box, not really paying attention, picking your nose, looking at the bugs that are around you, trying to figure out what's going on, and there's a game going on the field. There's a game going on. And all of a sudden, your coach calls you in. Hey, Billy, you're pinch hitting. What, coach? And this, we got people now. This is how the body is. We got the field. There's the field. There's warfare going on. I need you here. Hold on. Ooh, hold on. Let me shut my computer down because I was looking at some stuff. I'm sorry. I got to clear my history out real quick, Lord. Sorry. Sorry. Oh, I know, Lord, I'm sorry. That was just a little affair. It wasn't big. A little. Battle's going on in the fields there. We got casualties. Lord needs reinforcements. Who is he going to call? He's looking at you. I've never seen an angel manifest himself in a physical form. Now, I know it happened biblically. I've never seen it in as long as I lived. And all of a sudden, he started fighting my battles for me. Never seen it. Because he uses people who have the Spirit of God inside of them. You're the ecclesia. You're the called out ones. You're the one who's supposed to be on the battlefield with the sword, not with your finger up your nose, trying to figure out, is this God or not? And that's what we do. We're getting pelted. The enemy's throwing accusations. He's coming against you about your past. And we're trying to wonder, I wonder if this is God. I wonder if condemnation is God. I wonder if the temptation I'm feeling right now, if I should give into it. I wonder if God's grace is something to be used to my advantage. Because we got so many windows open. So many open. And you know how it is when you talk about windows, especially those who work in corporate offices or work from home. Sometimes you can have at least 15, 20 windows open. I'll be on my computer. I'm like, click, 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 click. I'm looking at tabs and windows. I'm just working. But look at it from the Christian perspective. We got windows open. Shame, guilt, all this stuff, addiction, all this stuff in our life. And God's calling you into the battle. We can't get there. We can't get there because we're so stopped up emotionally. We're so stopped up and filled with compromise that even if we try to lift a sword, it'd be too heavy. We can't lift it. Because you're not in position to where you're being built so you can hold it. The Word of God, it's sharp, it's quick, it's powerful, it's weighty. It's not something that you can just take up. It's not like alphabet cereal. Remember the alphabet cereal? Yeah. It's not a little A and a B. It's a sword. It's true. And so you're standing up for truth. Well, we can't wield the sword because it's too heavy. Why? Because you can't have compromise and truth going on at the same time and expect to be effective. It doesn't work that way. That's like people will say, well, I'm in a relationship with the Lord. I love the Lord. But I'll tell you what, I know he's not saved. I know. But I love him. You're in trouble. I'm going to say it right up. There are way too many people compromising on this issue in relationships. And I'm hitting it today a little bit. Because I'm seeing it in different pockets. And people are wondering why it's not working. It's not working because you're not like-minded. And you can't have fellowship with one another because you're not walking in step. You're pulling each other. You want to go this way. The God desire wants to go this way. But you're in the flesh and you want to go this way. There is no community between the two. There's none. The flesh wants what the Spirit does not want. And it's opposite, and there's a constant war that's taking place. And so if you're looking for a solution, you've got to get with God and ask God, God, what's the solution to this problem? And I know he'll tell you. He's going to tell you, because what we do is we expect God to fix what you're not supposed to be in. Lord, fix it. I can't fix it. It doesn't work. Jesus and the enemy are never going to have a close relationship. It's never going to be, hey, what you doing down there? Why don't you come up here, sit next to me a little bit? Let's talk about what's happening in the world right now. It's never going to be this united front. It's never going to be, come on, Satan. And we do it with the world. We want this united front. Come on, inclusivity. We're Christians. Come on, inclusivity. Let's love everyone. But when we do that, we take truth out. And you can't have one without the other because then it becomes abuse. We want to love everyone, but we don't want standard. And then we wonder why things aren't working in the way they're supposed to work, because you've allowed compromise to creep in. Because truth is still truth, no matter if you believe it or not. Well, it's not working. I can tell you why it's not working. And God is not going to fix what's not supposed to be working. God's not going to compromise who he is so you feel good about yourself. I've never seen God do that. I know you're having a rough day, Rich, but I tell you what, I'll lessen my character. I'll allow you to act on every impulse that you have, and then I'll forgive you because you're having a bad day. Never seen God compromise who he is. Never seen God go back on his word. If I did act on an impulse, the consequences were a result of that impulse, and I deserved it. It had nothing to do with God's goodness and God's grace. If he was really good, he would have saved me. If you really were following Jesus, you wouldn't have been stupid. You would. You know it's there. Legitimately, don't touch that thing. It's hot. Don't touch it. Don't. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. It's hot. But Lord, I'm lonely. Seek me. Lord, I need a fix. I got you. It's one of the reasons why I place you in the communities that you're in to help you with this. Because temptation is common to man. I don't take it away from you just because you're a believer. But you got to learn there's a way of escape. And sometimes the way of escape is I got to say no and call up boo-boo and be like, hey, what you doing tonight? Can we go out and fellowship a little bit? I've seen people do it all the time. I've seen single women, they're in community groups, discipleship groups. Why? They need the fellowship and accountability. I've seen pastors and teachers who are spiritual and Christian not have any accountability. The results are disastrous. We profess Jesus, but we don't really follow Jesus, and that's different. You can't profess and not follow very long without there being a disconnect somewhere and God revealing stuff. It just doesn't work that way. Let's look at Galatians real quick. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Verse 3, if you think, this is one of my favorite verses, if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourselves. You are not that important. Oh, man. Oh, yes. I love it. Because it brings things back to center. It might be because of where I came from, too. But having an understanding and perspective that we are not as good as we think we are, and you are replaceable. But we got to be careful. We got to be real careful as believers that we don't take privilege and connect it with responsibility, walk humbly with it, and understand that as easily as we got it, it could go. Because you have people, and you might know some people in the Christian walk who take their position very seriously. But the problem is that if you take your position very seriously and you elevate yourself to a position that God never intended you to be at, then you run the risk of falling into temptation. And you don't realize that falling into temptation can have disastrous consequences, not just for you, because Sharon, it's not just about you. What you do affects everybody around you, especially in the body. in the body. Well, we're the body of Christ. I can live any way that I want to. You cannot live any way that you want to and call yourself a Christian, because someone will inevitably call you out and see you for who you are. And not just that, but God is so good, he will shine a light on your sin. Oh, yeah, he will shine it. If you want to see someone in sin, God will show you. Because God does not play. But we've gotten to this point, I think, in the Christian walk where it's like, it's okay, I'm talented, but, you know, I'm addicted. It's cool. We're representing Jesus. We don't understand the responsibility that comes with, and we expect God just to wink at stuff. Haven't you learned, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, God is not winking at anything. His eyes are wide open. So the whole series on Galatians is about two words. Stay free. Stay free. Don't get entangled again by a yoke of bondage. Don't. Just don't. Stay free. If Jesus has set you free, stay there. It's harder sometimes to stay free. Because sometimes the tendency would be it was easier going back into bondage because at least I was comfortable there and I knew what I was dealing with. And I'm telling you this from experience, it's easier sometimes to go back into what's comfortable because it's familiar rather than stay free into the unknown and allow Jesus to move you from faith to faith and glory to glory, because the unknown for people is scary because he's doing something supernaturally, not something naturally. And that means that if Jesus asks me to do things that are not comfortable, that means it has risk. As risk. But if I am free, and if the Son sets me free, and if he does, I'm free indeed. I'm okay with, quote, failing if I fall forward. But you can't follow Jesus and expect there to be no risk. You can't follow Jesus and expect there's going to be no temptation. You can't follow Jesus and expect you're going to get it right all the time. You're being perfected. You're not perfect. You're being perfected. So when I do it, and when I don't do it, he's shown me some things about who he is. It's the perfection process. 9 times out of 10, I got to do it. Because faith coupled with works is progress. Faith without works is dead. It's one of the reasons why he talks about it in the New Testament. You can't just say it. You actually have to do it. It's uncomfortable. Do it. Because I'm free. If I don't make it, if I don't hit the mark, I'm still free. I'm still free. If I hit the mark, I'm free. Either way, I'm free. But I still have to learn to walk and do it. You know, there are a lot of things, people in the body of Christ, they're 60, 70 years old, but they're still babies. Can't really eat the meat of the word. Paul talks about it. He said, we got to go back. We got to feed you milk now. Because some of the stuff, and as Missy talked about last week, we've been saved so long that we should be teaching other people. We're still having trouble feeding ourselves. And that's the problem with the body. You have a codependent body of Christ because they're expecting the leader or the pastor to feed them. Here's your... God's good. Open up. He's good. And if he doesn't say, and whatever he says, that's it for the day. That's it. And, oh, that was a good day today. What'd you learn? Something about just, you know, God's goodness. Okay. It's good. It's good. And then the rest of the week, we walk around the same way. God's good. God's good. And meanwhile, the enemy's just hitting you up the side of the head. You know you're a liar. You know you're a fake. All week. And we come back in. Hope the pastor gives you something today. Come back into church. Raise your hand. That was good. Man, God's good. It's really good. It's good. It's good. Next week, same thing. Process. Still dealing with addiction. Still dealing with stuff. not making progress, and really hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. And God's heart is for you to walk in freedom, not bondage, not perfection, but being perfected. And what we do is we walk around and it's aimless. A lot of the body walks around aimless. Don't really know what they're shooting at. Just Christianity is just like a thing. Man, it's like a fad. Yeah, God's good. Presence of God was good. What a great concert. What a great concert. And you know people like this. Oh my God, the concert was so great. It was so great. There were 2,000 people there. She signed my shirt. It was an awesome day. We had a great conference. It was good. And then we look at Instagram and it's like, you ain't walking with Jesus. It's like a fad. It's like a social thing. It's like the club. It's like a Christian club, man. What club you go to? Oh, it's Community Chapel. It's on Brian Deary. It's good. It's like fashionable. And I'm concerned about that because it's just like fashionable to see what the new trends are in Christianity. Let me tell you what the new trend is in Christianity. It's an old trend. Follow Jesus. That's the trend. Follow Jesus. What's God ask you to do? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing here. There are a couple of things we believe in. You should be able to regurgitate that. But what's new? What vibe is happening? Well, I'll tell you. God's been good. Spirit of God is really doing some of these things. And when you talk about these things, you can really tell where people are at in their response. Because when you really are convicted and purposeful about what you share and there's something behind it, people take notice of it like, wow, I'm really not walking the probably way I should walk. There should be a conviction about what you say. Because you're free. And you know what God has done. And that you're able to talk about the goodness of God. You don't have it all together. There are things happening in your life, but you talk faith. And when you talk faith, things happen. You're trying to figure out, well, I don't feel it. It has nothing to do with you feeling it. I know God's doing something. I know he's doing something. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But you know what? I can look at Sean's life and I say, man, from where Sean has come from, I know God's doing something in Sean's life. I know it. Because he kept saying, yeah, and kept doing it. That's what following Jesus is about. It's not making excuses for things that he doesn't have or that he should have and saying, you know what, I'm going to deal with what I have and I'm going to allow God to allow his strength to be made perfect in my weakness and we'll get this thing done. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean that I have it all together and that I'm perfect in every area. I still walk with a limp in certain areas, but guess what? Jesus is walking with me. I'm still walking that way. I'm still asking the Lord for help. I'm still asking him for wisdom. I'm still saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? In the process, I'm still doing it. It's not one of those things where I just sit down one day and say, well, that's it. Had a good run. It was a great week. There's next week coming. You ought to have that perspective. As you look back over your week and say, all right, it was a good week. God's been good. Monday is coming. And I know this week, stuff's going to come back up. The enemy's going to throw that thing right back up in my face and say, still, you've still been dealing with that stuff. This is going to work your personality against you. He's going to work the way you think against you, and you got to be ready for it. Because there has to be someone inside of you that says, no, wait, man, if God said it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to trust God. And I know he's going to come out my weakness. I know he's going to come out where I think I got it together, but I'm going to do it because I know God's faithful. That's following Jesus. It's not peacing out for 6 months and wondering where you went. It amazes me when I see people and just in what they post and I see people just in conversation with them. And God does this with you. And you know, it's every 6-7 months, you'll see the same people. And you say to yourself, we're still here. It's because Jesus has pulled you out and said, walk with me. And he's doing something in your life that you may not get, but it's actually working for you, and your perspective has changed, and now what you used to think was cool, it ain't cool no more. It's sad, because it's better to walk with Jesus. And once you get there, you're like, all right, come on. Where are we going? That's why I know it's uncomfortable. I know people hate working out. I'm just using it as an analogy. But even when you get up, say, all right, Lord, let's just get to it. Let's get to it. Because I know it's coming today. Let's just get to it. I know I'm going to get to the end of myself today. Let's just get to it. Because the longer you walk with Jesus, you just know what's coming. Don't you know what's coming? Wall's coming this week. I know it's coming. There's certain things God allows you to see. Just so you know, it's coming this week. Just be ready. Just be ready. But we act surprised. Oh my God, it's Friday. I can't worship. I'm going to throw up. All the thoughts come back in your head. Oh my God, Sunday's coming again. Oh man, it's already Sunday. I know I'm telling on some of y'all, but you know it's true because you don't say it out loud. But what happens is as the week gets later on in the week, sometimes the temptations increase because the Lord knows Sunday's coming. The enemy knows Sunday's coming. Are you going to be able to stand up and be truthful and speak truth, or are you going to hold back? And that's a constant battle. You know, this week, meeting with your neighbors coming up, you're going to see him at 4:30 on Tuesday with the dog who's crapped on your lawn 7 times. You know, it's going to be there. It's going to be at the mailbox. You know, inevitably, it's going to come when you don't want it to come. And you're going to be like, hey, how you doing? The conversation's coming. You know, you're going to get a phone call from a family member. The enemy is going to try to throw it up in your face. You've been doing good. You've been doing good. And all of a sudden, someone says something and you're like, all right, what are we going to do now? It's coming. Because you're walking with Jesus. And he's going to bring it up against you to see how are you going to react. How about we just win this week? How about we just win this week? Just win one, okay? And you know, I'm not a Boston fan, but they're on the brink of doing something amazing. Let's just win one and see what that does. Maybe we can win another one. Can you imagine if we win game 6? And we do. Anything's possible. Let's win one. And I promise you, and God is speaking today, let's get one under our belt. Because once you get that one under your belt and you actually see what freedom does and you see that God's actually for you, you start like getting, all right, let's get it. Let's get it. I'm not going to wait for it. Let's keep going. God's actually for you. He wants you in it. He's actually in it. And the enemy's on the other ear saying, you can't do it. You know he's not going to come through. But God's actually for you and said, you can do it. So you got to, there's a war between two worlds going on. What you going to do? I'm going to shush it away. You can't shush it away. What you going to do? You're going to have to stand up in the middle of it and say, all right, let's just get it on. I'm going to sweat it out. It's going to be hard this week, but let's just do it because I want to win. I'm a winner. Every once in a while, the Lord will give you a little bit of glimpse of what he's called you to do and how he's called you to win. And you have to get in that mindset. And the toughest thing for you to do is get in that mindset in agreement with him. Say, yes, Lord, you have it. No matter what I see, I'm called to win. And that alignment and that agreement will help push you past what you're facing. God is not interested in you being in a perpetual state of losing. Do you understand that? That gives God no glory whatsoever. No glory. Well, I lost again. Just can't beat my thought process. You might have to go back up it against it again. That second point today is you are not that important. And so when you realize that God has called you to do life with him, it changes perspective. You did not ask him. He asked you. And that helps you in the process of saying, okay, Lord, it's not my will, but it's your will be done. Thank you for the grace to complete the work that you're going to complete, not me. But it does require your participation. God's pulling a lot of you off the sidelines right now. He's pulling you out of addiction. He's pulling you out of lust. He's just emotional dysfunction. He's pulling this out. He said, I'm done with it. I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you out. And you don't like it. Because you've been comfortable and you're trying to self-loathe. And God said, I'm done with it. I'm pulling you out of it so you can meet me. I'm your healer. I'm your provider. I'm your strong tower. I'm going to give you the things that you need to succeed. It's me, not anybody else. And until you get that perspective, you're going to stay here. But I'm pulling you out. I'm not letting you sit on that perch any longer. And you know what that means for some of you. You know when you sit too long in a certain stance or perspective that's not profitable for you. And God said, now you're starting to slip backwards. I need you to get out. Get out. But you can't do it if you're going to lean on your own understanding. So there has to be a give in that area. Oh, I can't. I don't understand it. Good. Now we can get somewhere. It's the reason why I think God is pushing us this way in this idea of staying free is because he's about to send you to some people who have some stuff they have to deal with. But you can't get entangled with them and in turn now you're stuck. So you have to stay free, and that means you got to be vigilant in that. Vigilant. There are certain boundaries that some of y'all have set. You keep those boundaries. Well, I'm free. I can live any way that I want to. False. There are certain boundaries that God has placed even in that freedom. And that's where the grace is. There. And so when Jesus begins to send you to people and you're talking to people on your jobs and conversations are coming up, there's no conversation, hear what I'm saying. There's nothing in the Christian walk that happens by accident. Nothing. You might think, oh, that was really meant nothing. Nothing. As God brings you before people of influence, how you act, what you say, the doors that God opened, nothing happens by accident. And you cannot forfeit that opportunity by saying no just because it's uncomfortable and I don't know what to say. God will give you the words and what you need to say, but how is the world going to be reached with the message of freedom if you can't get over that spirit of fear and do what God has called you to do and know that God's got you? Or the question should be, does he have you? And maybe that's where the rub is for some of y'all. Well, God really doesn't have all of me. I know there's a disconnect there. And even if God did ask me to do something, I couldn't really say yeah because I'm not all in. God's bringing back his body to all in. All in. Lord, for everyone in this room who's free because of what you've done. We thank you for that process. We thank you for the work that you've done and the work that you're still doing. I want you to think to yourself right now, are there some areas where you feel like, I just feel I'm stuck. I'm not winning here in this area. But you know that God is asking you to still come up against it because he actually wants you to win. And I want you to purpose in your heart this week that when it comes up again, that you're going to face it. You're going to face it. You're going to pull your sword out. You're going to cut it down. And the way you cut it down is by standing up even when you don't feel like standing up against it and say, no, I am who God says I am. I'm going to push past my limitations, and I believe God, if you've promised it to me, it's going to come to pass. This week, it may not come the way I want it to come, but it's going to come because he's faithful. Lord, thank you for a perspective to realize that we're more than enough because of what you've done. You've bridged the gap so that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you for chasing us and choosing us because we know that the price that was paid was good enough. That we are worth it. And the enemy knows that we're worth it. Thank you this week just for a new sense of value. To know that we're valued in you. Lord, bring confidence back to your people this week. I pray for a win this week. A win. They're going to see a win this week. And that win is going to push them toward another win. And that relationship with you is going to take off. And they're going to start overcoming stuff. They're going to start coming up against situations in the name of Jesus. Because they know who they are. And we thank you, God, so much for your goodness and grace. Because we know that the best is truly yet to come. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen.